Blog Talk Radio.
This is your brother live. Your brother Elohim out of Philadelphia coming to you live. First, let me do a quick assertion and we can get started with the show. I walk the path of being honest and good, and I will keep my mind focused on read what you saw. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightenment, and I will get what I want. What does that mean? Why are we doing an assertion instead of a prayer? Well, we talk about that on so many other shows, so we don't get into that too much today, because today we're talking about that money. This is Money Day. Wednesday's always Money Day. So, are you tired of being a thousandaire? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm a Bible thumper, although that title has been misconstrued in so many ways. But in Psalms 82, it tells you who you are. That you are God. That's who you are. Okay? So when we're talking about who you are, that means you are a designer. That's right. They have all kinds of stuff out there talking about Darwinism over designism. You are a designer. We've been designing from the beginning. We're designing now. We're still designing what we designed 50 years ago. It's nothing compared to what we're designing today. That's what God does. God is a designer. So if you're having trouble, okay, if you're having a problem, sit down and you can design a system to get out of the mess that you're in, whatever mess that you're in, okay? First of all, you have to realize who you are. But, you know, every day before we start anything, we always talk about our number one issue that we have is love. Because they're not teaching us how they love each other. They're teaching us obsessionism rather than love. You know, we get so obsessed over something and we're ready to kill somebody and all this stuff. You know what I mean? Especially chasing somebody that don't want you. I mean, oh my goodness, it gets crazy out there sometimes. Well, that's not love. According to Tyrannical Scriptures, which is a book that was given to us, it's called, love is the act that make others feel good. Now think about it. If you're in a relationship, right, your every thought is, what can I do to make this person feel good today? Their every thought, what can I do to make this person feel good today? What could go wrong with the relationship? Okay? You'll be in a feel-good relationship from day to day to day, day in and day out. And that's what it's all about, you know? Well, we get into a little bit of love. We talk about love for about 5 minutes, you know? What most people don't know is that the heart has a neural net that communicates with the brain, all right? And when something goes wrong, you know, what you're feeling, the heart gives off hormones. That's why you can meet a person, don't know them from a can of paint. All of a sudden, something about this person I don't like. They remind you of somebody that did something to you, and those hormones kick in. You know what I'm saying? You don't realize that the hormones is kicking in, and you have some kind of feeling some kind of way about the person, even though the person ain't done nothing. Person never done nothing to you, never saw you before. It's like, you know, this is how the heart works. So don't be out there pushing a person's buttons, trying to make sure they love you, trying to make people jealous and all that kind of stuff. That's crazy. That's not love. Because when you do that, every time you make a person jealous of you, those hormones kick in. And it don't help the relationship. It might make you feel better. Oh, I know he loves me because he's ready to kill somebody over me. But you got to think what you're putting them through, how to make them feel when they have to get that type of, draw that type of energy around the thought process, which is you. Now, we talk about emotion, right? Everybody says you got this kind of emotion, hate and love. No, no, no. There's only one emotion triggered by the importance that you put on a thing. I remember back in the day, you step on my blue suede shoes, you had a fight. We had so much importance on them shoes, man. We got emotional with them shoes. You can get emotional over anything if you put a lot of importance on it. Now, the number one thing that that people are emotional over, that put a lot of thought on that they get emotional over, is the children. People love their children, so they get very emotional. Some have one of them children. Hey, you going off. You ready to blow up a whole planet like your babies. You follow what I'm saying? Well, that's only natural, okay? Now, what Psalm 82 is talking about, give you an idea of what's going on, okay? I'm just going to go a little bit beyond love here. We're going to get into the money in a minute. What Psalm 82 is talking about, when it's talking about you and God, is that you are above nature. A lot of us have taken the Bible. I'm a Bible thumper, so, you know, over here on the line. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. And let me know that somebody out here don't think I'm crazy. Anyhow, I'm a Bible thumper, but the Bible is a code book. When I'm talking about the Bible, I'm not talking about none of these religious institutions, okay? because they're not dealing with the code. That's why we don't have power. That's why they don't appreciate King James and what he did when he rewrote the book, because they don't know what he did when he rewrote the book. Now, the Bretonians knew, the Queen of England, they knew. The ones that's carrying power, they knew. That's why they reverenced the book. You can't go nowhere without finding the book. You can't even run for office without praying on the book or pledging on the book. They know the power of this book. Think about it. The people that are carrying the Bible are the most powerful people on the planet right now. How did that happen? When, you know, blacks used to rule the entire world, okay, we had a global empire here. You can check out our brother, Horace Butler from Rocks Quiet Out. He got the evidence to prove all that. You know what I mean? So what happened to flip the script, okay? This guy named Constantine, okay, Roman emperor, he had a general named Maurice. Maurice showed him how to read the code in the book because they weren't conquering the whole planet. Half the planet they ain't even been to. You know what I'm saying? They didn't know how to conquer and run those doggone planet. The Romans didn't. But once General Maurice told Constantine how to read the Bible, oh, man, it was on. And they appreciated that brother so much, they call him St. Maurice now. You can look it up. You can Google St. Maurice. He'll come up. You know what I mean? Jet black at the street. At least they didn't change his colors like they did Yeshua. But anyhow, that's what we have to do. We have to get back into the Bible codes. That's what we do on Sunday. Sunday is Bible 2.0. I'll take you to the codes. What King James did that we don't know is that he did a step-by-step, book-by-book methodology on how to bring you to power because he saw this coming. You got to remember, he was the sixth king of England and the first king of Ireland. I mean, the sixth king of Ireland. He's making a little mix up. And the first king of Britain. This guy knew what power was. He was carrying power. He knew exactly what he was doing. That's why they appreciate the King James Version so much. You don't understand why they appreciate it, but this is why they appreciate the King James Version so much, okay? Now, let's get on with it, okay? So it's a step-by-step process, that methodology, on how to bring yourself back to power. Now, we're talking about money today, all right? So every Wednesday we talk about money, all right? So I might not go through the whole thing because every Wednesday I give you the whole thing, but I want to give you enough of it so that you understand and you can brief your children. Because the information I'm going to give you now, I see we got a few new callers on the line. This information has to get to your children. You have to pass this information on. Now, we're talking about a 50% budget. Wait a minute, Brother Raheem. Where do you get a 50% budget from? It's in the book. Remember the story of Joseph? Those of you, most of us, we read the Bible because you ain't growing up in America. I would have known something about the book. You know what I mean? They make sure of that. In the King James Version, how Joseph saved Kemet, which is Egypt, okay? He told Pharaoh, spend half, save half. If you can't save half your money, all right, you're living beyond your means and you're under a lot of stress, okay? You have to modify your budget so that half your income coming in, you are stacking. Why are you stacking it? Because you need residual income. Okay, what in the world is residual income? We have a simple explanation. I mean, they make it, you go to college, they make it all complicated. You got microeconomics and macroeconomics and this and got that, and what makes the budget do this. And oh, man, they can keep you in school for eight years, charging $70,000 for information that you can get for an hour. It would take an hour to get the information, okay? Economics is somebody else working and paying you. Wait a minute. It can't be that easy, can it? Yes, it's just that simple. The quickest way to deal with economics is to go into real estate where you have somebody working and paying you rent or paying you a mortgage. Okay? That's a quick way to get into it. Now, if you don't have no money, there's other ways to create residual income. Residual income is when you do something once and you don't have to do it again. And you can keep putting it out over and over and over, and it will make money. Records, that's residual income. You can write a book, that's residual income. You can make a poem, that's residual income. Or you can take your money if you know what you're doing, now you really got to know what you're doing when you start messing with the stocks and the markets and all that stuff, you know, and you spend some time studying this stuff because it's gambling, right? And, you know, you watch any of the old movies, if you don't know how to play Baccarat or Blackjack, you don't know the rules on how to play the game, you will lose everything you got, okay? But your money can work for you. You can buy precious metals and they will appreciate over time, okay? That will make you money. But residual income is something or somebody working and paying you money. Now, if you have to work for this money every day, you don't have residual income. What you have is a job, okay? You're not looking for a job. God ain't supposed to be working on no job, okay? God is supposed to design his way out of being on a job. So he can spend 2 weeks in Florida in wintertime and go to Alaska when you feel like a hare with the polar bears and stuff. This is what God is supposed to do because you are a designer. That's the problem. They don't want you to know who you are. And it all starts with who you are. And the book is telling you. I'm not making this up. I'm reading it out of the book, okay? Put yourself on a 50% budget. If you don't know how to get there, start with your food. That's the best place to start. Stop shopping every day. Buy you an extra freezer. Shop once a month. Run into the market every week, every day, once or twice a week. Run into the little corner stores. You burn up all your cash in a hurry. This will begin you to save that money. Yeah, you know, every Wednesday we talk about that money. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what most relationships, everything. Everybody has problems over that money, right? Remember, your goal is to, when you have that job, your goal is to sit down and design a way to have residual income where people and money is working for you, okay? You can even get somebody else to make sure that people do their work. They call them managers, okay? They call them CEOs, vice presidents. That's what they call them, you know? But your thought process has to be along those lines. Now, wait a minute. Why do you think I can be that powerful that I can do something like that? Boy, that's a good question. Well, we're talking about Bible codes. I talk about the codes every day. And on Monday, we read out of the Tyrannical Scriptures complete volume. That's a secret doctrine that's been given to our group, okay? Tuesday, we read out of secret doctrine. Monday is that we catch people up on the Elohim Five Tribes Society of Love, okay? That's our website, too. You can go to that. We have that's our domain page. You can go there. Buy a couple items if you want to support us. Anyhow, we're talking about the code, okay? Religion, according to us, is realigning yourself with source energy. That's a whole lecture by itself because that tells you, that goes pre-Bible, okay? This is before the earth and the planets and all that stuff was made. So we're not going to go there today. We do that. What day did we do that? We did it on Sunday, too. So in the book, it says, 82:6. You are all gods. That's what it says. A god is a designer. A god is not somebody sitting up in a chair watching what you do and have somebody sitting on a hot rod drinking tea so they can send you down to them to torture you all your life if you screw up. No, we only talk about God the devil. We don't go there. You know what I'm saying? Because the code of the Bible takes us away from those thought processes. Okay, it says in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. Well, if the Bible says men and women are God, that means we have technology to make planets. Are we coming back into that technology again? Yes, we are. The moon is a satellite. Do we have satellites up there right now? Yes, we do. Okay, as God, you are above nature. Okay, nature don't control you. You control nature. Now, if you function as a man or a woman, well, then you're under nature, okay? Like, it's not natural. I say this every week. So it's not natural, okay, for man to go outside, flap his arms, and fly like a bird. Just not natural for him to do that. But God can design things to fly faster, higher. than any bird can go. In fact, we're off the planet right now. Got little men up there and a little, what do you call it, a little docking station. And we got little tools on different planets roaming around trying to see what we can find up there. They're really looking for minerals, what they're looking for. You saw the movie Avatar, right? And they was out there looking for the minerals. That's what was going on. But this is who we are. This is what we do, okay? Now, if you're having financial trouble, understanding who you are will make the difference, because there is nothing that you cannot do based on Psalm 82:6, knowing who you are. Once you realize that you are a designer, sit back. If you don't know how to design a particular thing that you need, go on the internet. There's people out there doing it every day. You know, learn, study, sit in the middle of the circle. Get off the outer circle, running around chasing stuff. Sit in the middle of the circle. Watch how things are going around the circle. Don't chase it, but you'll be chasing forever. You know, keeping up with the Joneses, that's what they used to call it. You sit in the middle of the circle. You watch, you look, you learn, you study. Somebody's making millions of dollars off the idea that you have in your brain right now. Because ain't no new ideas out here. That's what I'm saying. So somebody took your idea to the next level already, and they're getting paid. You just don't know who they are because your thought process haven't allowed you to go look for these people. But they're out there, okay? So there's nothing that you can't do. There's nothing that you can't figure out. And if you can't find nobody, you can sit down and make it yourself. You can make up things to get you out of the mess that you're in. Are you tired of being a thousandaire? Topic for today. Wouldn't you like to go into the million? Don't tell me there's not no millionaires out there. Look and see what they're doing. In fact, someone on YouTube begging you to come and try this system out that we got. I done made $50 million off this system. Here, give me $50 and try it out. You know what I'm saying? Hey, now you're going to buy a couple of systems that ain't worth nothing. But hey, $50 here, $50 there. You got to make some investments. You got to try this stuff out. Don't be afraid to spend that little $40, $50 and not knowing whether it's going to work or not. You know what I'm saying? Try it. You're making an investment into your future. At least you know, hey, yo, man, that thing don't work. I tried that. That $50, I learned my lesson on that $50. You know what I'm saying? Well, this is where we at, you know? And I'm walking around now. I'm tired of being a thousandaire. Sure, I got $1,000 rolling around out here. You know what I'm saying? I need different revenue streams, see? You have to think in terms of different revenue streams. You need money coming in from different sources, not just one source. You need many sources to bring this money in. If you're trying to go as being a thousandaire, you got some people that would love to just be a thousandaire because they can't seem to get past that week-to-week spending on the job. They work from paycheck to paycheck. And some of them are making $40,000, $50,000 a year, still living paycheck to paycheck. You know what I'm saying? It don't make sense. Just think. Now, we're going back to Joseph. He told our Pharaoh, save him, spend him. All of the acquisition and the wars, they use religion as an excuse, but they're fighting over the land and the resources in the land. So the first thing you want to do is buy you some land. When you buy that property, see what I'm saying? If you're counting your money right, when you buy that property, the whole system opens up to you. You'd be amazed at what you can get. Now they say, well, don't use credit, use other people's money. Nah. If you got your money to use it, use it. You got to think about it. Now, these guys out here, the credit unions and all that, you know, well, not the credit unions. I'm not sure exactly what they are, because I don't know who owns them. People own them. I don't know them from a can of paint. Might be the KKK, for all I know, you know, and everybody know I'm not down with the KKK. But you don't know who's making residual income off of your loan. The same people that's got their foot on your neck. You borrow money from them and paying them to keep them in power. So you got to do some research as to who you borrow money from, because you borrow money and get to a certain point, they'll have ways to block you on your job where you can't make the kind of money to pay your mortgage. Next thing you know, your mortgage will close. You try to get some help with that. They got the judges and everything blocked. Next thing you know, your house is gone. You say, I don't know how I got like this. They planned it like this. You borrowed money from them. Listen, this thing is getting interesting. Let me tell you something. When you go to buy a house, the minute you sign the first paperwork, you've already paid for the house. You have an account in the Treasury Department, a straw man account in the Treasury Department, all right? And they use that account to pay for the loan. They're getting paid twice on your property. Once, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be laughing, but it's so interesting that a lot of people don't know this. You know what I'm saying? Some people do, but a lot of people don't. The second time that you sign, when they bring that long piece of paper with all that information on it, right, with all the little fine print, when you sign that, what you're doing, you're signing to hire them to manage the money that they got from the straw man account of yours. So you got you paid for the property now, and let's say you paid $70,000 for the property. Now you got a mortgage of $900 a month to pay the $70,000 back. You're paying them to manage your account, not for the house. They don't already get paid for the house. They're getting paid twice on this property. That's why they get rich so fast off the property, and we don't. They're getting paid twice. We getting paid once. We don't know what we're doing, but we got to learn this stuff. That's what I'm saying. Are you tired of being a thousandaire? If you sell the property for $70,000, wouldn't you like to get $140,000, get your money right away, and then have them pay you for the next 20 years? Then you get interest and penalties and all that stuff. Oh, man, they got it going on. But you don't know this stuff. You don't know what's going on. Why? Because you don't know who you are. Once you realize, I am the God of this world. There's nothing that I can't do. There's nothing that I can't understand. There's nothing I can't see. I am a designer. My ancestors designed the planets. How hard is it for me to design something to get me out of this mess I'm in? You know, am I tired of working only 12 hours? Yes. You spent all this money getting corporations set up and the bank accounts to make a job for yourself. What do you want another job for? You might as well stay where you are. You know what I'm saying? Residual income. So sit back, analyze what you have, think about what you have, right? And figure out a way to turn that into all residual income. You don't want to work, period. Don't say, well, I got to work. I need to work. I don't work. You don't need to work. You need money. You know what I'm saying? You need money, and you need the money to do the work. Let your money work for you, okay? When you're paying somebody that little $15 an hour, okay, and your return on them, now, if you're paying somebody $15 an hour, you got to be doing 100% return on that money. Don't kid yourself. You're paying somebody $15 an hour, multiply it times 100, and that's what you're supposed to be making off that person's labor. If you have, well, you can cut corners, you can make 70% or 80% or 50% if you want. It depends on what's going on and how fast you want to flip everything. You know what I'm coming from? But these are the parameters. These are the guidelines that you're supposed to be using when you hire people. You know what I'm saying? What is your labor worth? Especially if you got your own business. What is your labor worth? You watch some of these TV shows, and the guy said, hey, man, it cost me $6,000 just to unwrap the cigar paper. Just unwrap my cigar cost me $6,000. They know how much their time is worth. And you got to figure out what your time is worth. See what I'm saying? And if you figure, well, my time is worth at least, should be at least worth $100 an hour. My time is worth $100 an hour. Okay? Now, you break that down to the hours you're spending on your job and you see, am I making enough money off this thing or off your business? Am I making enough money off this thing? No. Okay. Once you can pay yourself $100 an hour, you can figure out to pay somebody $15, $20 an hour. Come on. It gets easier as it goes along, but you have to have the right thought process. Like the Egyptians say, know thyself. Who are you? According to the Bible, you are a God. A God is a designer, okay? Ain't nobody sitting up there except for Big Brother watching you. Big Brother got satellites up there. Ain't nobody sitting in no chair watching you, judging you like Abraham Lincoln. No, that's Big Brother up there with the satellites, watching, checking what you're doing, make sure you ain't stealing his money. Big Brother worried about. Hey, man, this guy's ripping us off, man. I can see him every day walking back, taking my stuff. We got to shut this guy down right quick. That's who's watching you, okay? And they're not sending you to hell. They're sending you to jail. They got prisons for you, okay? Well, now, if you're getting ready to upset the whole apple cart, that's something different. And that's where the story of Jesus comes in at, okay, as a code. Now, I'm not talking about, I'm not going through the, oh, Lord, he walked on water. No, we're not going into all that. That's what we call the occult portion. Stories are the occult. They have so many different groups out here because some person tells the story better than others. Whoever you like that tells the story the best, that's the church you're going to be in. Oh, man, that preacher broke it down, boy. He can really get me. I like him. I'm going to sit in his church. Why? So he can tell you that God told him something when the book telling you that he the God that's telling you whatever. It's all about a code. It's all about the code book. So you know the book is telling you that everywhere it says God in the book, it's talking about a man or a woman. All right? And boy, they really don't want you to know how powerful this female is. Oh, my goodness. They don't want you to know where she's coming from. You want to know how powerful, the most powerful female on the planet right now, the most powerful person on the planet right now is, guess who? It's a female. She calls the Queen of England or Britain or whatever she calls herself over there. That's a smart lady. That lady, you got to give her her props. I don't care what color she is. She's smart. You know what I'm saying? She still owns the United States and the Americas. They before they started shutting the internet down, they put it on the internet. When I Googled it, it came up. She owns the United States and the Americas. That's right. George Washington did not win no independence. They tried to steal the country from the founding fathers, who was President Hanson and them. They fought for 33 years, hooked up with the French, and they lost, okay? Okay? Thanks to our brother from Haiti, who showed them how to beat Napoleon, because nobody knew how to beat Napoleon until Toussaint Laurent Overture, I think that's his name. He came up with a strategy to kick Napoleon's butt. Napoleon was their greatest general, but they was fighting the entire America, not just Haiti. See, they was fighting everybody. They wasn't just fighting. They wasn't just fighting. They make it look like, oh, just Haiti fighting. No, no, no. Haiti by itself, although the Maroons was pretty bad, they were pretty good. Haiti by itself could not have beat Napoleon. Okay, yeah, brothers coming from Mexico, everywhere else going up there to knock Napoleon off. It was an American event because this was called the Americans before any of them even came here. Okay, all this was already called the Americas, going back to the Lemurians. I don't go too much into their history because we're supposed to be talking about money. I don't want to get too far off track here. But the most important thing that you have to realize is who you are. You are a designer, okay? Sit back and design what you want. Don't think in terms of, oh, man, I got to have. You can make a job for yourself. It's easy. You can make some cakes and walk around the corner and sell cakes, make a job for yourself. You need residual income. So if you can make cakes and you're out here selling cakes and pies and whatever, okay, now you got to think, wait a minute. I got the wholesale. I got manufacturing, wholesale, and retail prices. So since I'm the manufacturer, right, I can put a little bit more on it, sell it at manufacturer's price, so somebody else can buy it from me and sell it at wholesale price. Now you're creating job for somebody else. Now, if I sell it to him to the manufacturer's price, he can put a little bit more on it and sell it to somebody, and they can sell it at the retail price. Now you're creating more jobs just by how you're setting up to sell your cakes and stuff, okay? So when they put all the items in the supermarket, they putting them in there at a little bit above manufacturing cost or a little bit above wholesale cost. And they're selling retail prices, okay? they put they mark up the retail price and they sell it for you. That's why they can have a sale. The property sit too long to have a sale to get rid of it, so they can buy more stuff to sell to you at a cheaper price, and everybody's getting paid. But they're creating work, so it takes cashiers and accountants, and oh my goodness, it takes a lot of people to handle all those products when you get set up properly. If you're not trying to make a job for yourself, you do not want a job. You don't want to work. You want to create work. You want to make work for other people. What you want to do, you want to have other people working, flying around, you know, whatever it costs. You can figure out a way to make the money. See what I'm saying? Now, if you have money, all right, and you don't have any type of other property than the one that you have, you need to buy some more property, okay? Even if it's just one or two, all right? If you buy one or two property and you rent that property out until the day you get ready to retire. When we retire, the property's worth $100,000. Another property, you have $200,000 or $300,000 to retire on. Okay, although in today's market that ain't much, but that would give you retirement money. Okay, or you can turn it into a residual income effort, where you're dealing with so much property that you're able to hire managers to manage. They got property managers out there. Like I got property in, I hate to talk about this on the radio, but I got other property. And what I do with my property, right, I give 7% of my unadjusted gross to the real estate people. They get the people in, they collect the money, they send me a check. You know what I'm saying? We have an agreement. Any repairs that's over $1,000, call me. I'll fly down and see what it is. If I agree on it, then they'll fix it. Other than that, you know what I mean? You got to wait before the repairs take place. You're not looking for work. You're looking for residual income. And if you're one of these people that are blessed to be able, to make a job for yourself, then you can make a job for other people and stop working. You know what I mean? You know, it's really, really simple. You don't want to work for a living. I was watching a movie, and a lady came on. She said, "We have never had a working-class author in our family. Never had a working-class author." See, workers, that's part of a class system that you don't want to be in. Okay, you do not want to be a worker. Well, I mean, you can be a worker in the beginning, but you don't want to be a worker, okay? Now, for your children, I missed the commercial again. Well, I'll do the commercial tomorrow. Well, let me say this here. If you have a comment or something you want to say, just press 1 on your dial, and then let me know that you have a comment. I will open up your mic, and you can make a comment or say something. If you have a business that you want to promote, We do not charge people to advertise on our show. You can come in, advertise your business, tell people what you need, and there's no charge. We make our money off CD sales, book sales, and stuff like that there, okay? And this is a service that we do for the people that are working, trying to do something for themselves and other people around them, okay? We have a society. It's called Elohim Cloud Tribe Society of Love. The society domain site is up, Elohim Cloud Tribe Society of Love. That's the domain site. You can go there and buy items and look at what we offer and what's going on, okay? And we're still building the site because all this is new. We just started all this stuff, okay? Now, those of you who want to be a part of the society, somebody has to bring you in. Somebody has to tell you what's going on, and somebody has to vouch for you in order to be part of the society, okay? We don't just take anybody in. We take in somebody that knows somebody in the society. If you don't know nobody in society, it's going to be hard for you to get in, okay? But what we give you, you get a whole lot of stuff when you get in. Affidavits on how to set up your unincorporated corporation. You got nutrient charts and how to eat. There's so much in there. How to run your business, how to run meetings, all that's in there. It's mostly codes. So it's not a lot of stories in there. It's mostly facts, information, things you need to become successful. That's what's in the information that you get when you become a part of the society, okay? So if you don't know anybody that's part of the society, just give me a call, 215-758-1703, and we can talk and we can see if there's somebody in your area that you might patch in with and talk to them about what's going on, okay? Now, also we have a CD on the market. Christ has come. Jesus is coming. 911 Jesus is coming. That's the name of the CD. You can go on YouTube, Amazon, Spotify. It's everywhere out there. So just type in Elohim Christ, Jesus is coming. And the song will come up. You can buy one song or you can buy the whole album. It's up to you. You can go on YouTube and listen to the whole thing if you want to hear what it sounds like. Now, remember, all the music that's being played on this station is written and produced by me. I've written all the songs, everything that's on the album I wrote myself. I'm doing the singing, God forbid, but I'm doing the singing on the album as well. So you can get a chance to check all that stuff out, okay? Now, back to where we are. We're talking about money, man. This is what we want you to pass. Last 20 minutes, I always do this on Wednesday. This is what you pass on to your children. Tell your children, work two jobs, live off one job, save the other job. Most jobs pay $10,000 a year. So if they're already making $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 a year, you just tell them to get on a 50% budget, okay? Save enough money to purchase a three-story building, okay? If they don't already have, well, let me back this up because I'm not really pushing for the upper middle class, because they have enough money to actually get started if they want to without going through this process. This is for the people who come in from families that's been struggling all their lives, working two jobs, trying to put food on the table, and you coming out, you don't have no money, no nothing, work two jobs. Most jobs pay $10,000 a year. Live off one job, save the other job, stay with your parents, whoever you're with, stay with them to keep the cost down on renting. Renting anything. You don't want to rent nothing, really, unless you have to, unless you know where the rental money is going back to, who you're renting from. You know what I'm saying? What they're doing with your money. Then it's okay for you to rent for a couple of years until something happens or something changes. But don't think in terms of renting. Stay with your parents or whatever you have to do, right? Do that for 2 years. Don't go directly to the market. They got sheriff's sale, foreclosures out there. There's a new system that I was introduced to. That's even better, and I don't have all the details right now, but I'm gonna write the details up so I can explain it. In fact, next week we're going into that to see if we can get some of that property. But there's other systems out there other than foreclosure and tax sales, okay? They got the tax liens and all that, but there's a lot of stuff out there that you can do to get that money, you know? And they got cities that are doing so bad that if you have a certain amount of money in your account, they'll give you the property. Just so you can fix it up. So it won't be an eyesore, you know? That's another thing that we're getting into too, okay? City council and all that, they know about these different systems, okay, that you can get into. But you have to be thinking about it. It's all about your thought process. You say, wait a minute, all these people I know in city council and all know about this stuff, give them a call. Ask them about these properties. They got them in Philadelphia. They got them everywhere. You know what I mean? Because the system is the same from state to state. The systems don't change from one state to another. The rules might change a little bit, but the system is the same, okay? So to tell your child to get that three-story property, live on the first floor in the basement. That's like having a two-story house. Funk the first floor and the basement out. Rent the top two floors out. That gives you residual income. Somebody's working and paying you rent. But remember, that first house that you buy, that's not the house that you're settling on for your permanent residence. It's all about business. Okay, you do that until you get enough money to buy maybe one or two more of those bad boys. Because what you want that three-car garage, you want that swimming pool with the doggone basketball court in the back and tennis court. That's what you're aiming for. You can get that. You can get that through real estate. All right. Other ways you can get it too. If you can sing, dance, or jump up and down or whatever. If you can play football or sports, you can get it like that too. But the average Joe can't do those things. Most average Joe can't carry a tune, can't dribble the ball 5 feet, you know, without falling over himself. So, you know, this is a good way to do it. You know, you can work at Geno's, McDonald's, any one of them places. You can go work at Walmart, and now they're paying $15 an hour. So you get two jobs like that, you know, this will give you $30 an hour. What does it give you? Well, Yeah, this will give you $30 an hour for 80 hours. Okay, that's what it'll give you. So you're not looking for the overtime. Unless the job has a lot of overtime, you don't have to work two jobs. You can just do a lot of overtime. That might work even better. But overtime tires you out, you know? If you set it up right, you're only going to be working 4 days on double shift. Is it 4 days or 3 days double shift? Yeah, 3 days double shift. And the rest of the day, you're just working one shift through. You follow what I'm saying? So it's not that bad, all right? So you do that, get that three-story building, and you go forward from there. Make residual income for yourself. You're not looking to work. You're looking to get away from work as quickly as possible. So this is what we do. We go out here, all this information, and we start creating jobs for ourselves. And before you know it, we done created so much work, we don't know what to do. But you got to, once you create all that work, you got to start putting people in place to do the work. You don't want to work. You want to enjoy the money. You can't enjoy the money if you're working 90 hours a week. It don't work that way, okay? It's your brother Elohim. I'll give you an update. I'm tired of being a thousandaire. And I can't be in a thousandaire if I'm exhausted. I can't be a thousandaire if I'm doing everything myself. I have to get out here and create work for people. We need workers. I need workers right now. You follow what I'm saying? I'm looking for some people to hire to do some stuff for me right now. You follow what I'm saying? I'm not trying to work. Trust me. Now, me being on the radio, writing the books, putting the CDs and the hats and T-shirts and all that stuff together, I'm doing that. But now I'm in the process looking for somebody to start doing these T-shirts and hats because I'm having trouble with the cups. You know, I've never done all this stuff before. But since we have all the society, all this work is coming up. Well, I was saying, we got people designing websites for me. Now I'm getting ready to release another CD, and I have people designing the site for the CD. So I'm beginning to pull people in to work for me. I can't do all that stuff. I don't know. Me and the internet, well, we don't get along too good. But I'm creating revenue streams so that I can pay people to do the work. You get what I'm coming from? Now, if I'm paying you $20-$30 an hour to do this work, I'm multiplying by 10. I got to be getting $300 an hour back. Now I got to figure out how in the world can I make $300 an hour off this guy's work, off this girl's work. That's what I have to figure out how to do. And you can do it because of who you are. You are a designer. Okay? Sit down, design a way so that you don't have to work. Okay. And once again, if you have a comment or a statement, if you want to say anything, you want to promote your business or anything, just press 1 on your phone. That'll let me know that you're on the air. And I'll open up the mic and you can make a comment or say whatever. Now, we don't use your name. We just use the last 4 digits of your phone number to let you know that your mic is open and you can say something. Okay. Now, today we're talking about money. This is what we do on Wednesday. We talk about that money. Now, I'm in the process of opening up my own bank. Wait a minute. Got $5 million open up a bank. What are you talking about? You're tired of being a thousandaire and you're looking for $5 million to open up a bank. You know, things are changing because of the Bitcoin, the virtual money. Do you know how much it actually costs to set up a node to run your own bank? $125. That's what it costs. I got one set up running right here. You know what I mean? And the transactions that we're making are coming through my bank, you know? And I get little fees, maybe a quarter penny or something like that there every time a transaction is made. But, hey, you can't have a dollar without a penny. It takes pennies to make the dollar. You know what I'm saying? When you first start getting into the market, you want to see that most of these coins that you're buying, they're on the market at less than a penny, a quarter penny, third of a penny. And as more people buy the coins start to go up in value, and that's how you make your money off the coin. You can either sell or keep the coin, you know, like it did with Bitcoin. But there's a new sheriff in town, and it's called virtual money. All right, you need to sit back, learn about this virtual money, learn what it is, you know? I mean, don't get set up where you lose, put all your money in, you don't know what you're doing, because anything that you put your money into, if you're not sure about it, you could lose it. But they have people that do that kind of work, okay? And the people that do that kind of work, they can show you if they're charging you, all right, let's say $200 or $300 for that little 3 or 4 hours work that they're doing. They charge you $75, $80 an hour. When they get done, they're going to show you how to make 10 times what you paid them. That's how it works. Those are the people that you hire. If you're hiring somebody and they can't show you how to make 10 times what you're paying them, move on. Go to somebody else. That's the model. You know, just like if you have a, if you're selling cake, the markup is 100%. Your markup is 100% on your cakes and pies or whatever you're making out there. And what I used to make cakes and pies. Now, what I used to have to do, I had to go to certain places once I got the license. I had to go to certain places that that sell the products cheap because I'm buying bulk. I'm buying in bulk now. Now, I'm not buying 5 or 10 pounds of flour. I'm buying 100 pounds of flour, 200 pounds of sugar. This is what I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? And everything gets a whole lot cheaper. So that pie only cost me 50 cents to make. So $3 or $4. It makes a difference. That's how these guys are making all this here money. You go to these stores now that they're selling cakes and bread and all that. They have somebody back there making that stuff. Now, you know, if they're paying them $15, $20 an hour as bakers, right, you know they're making 10 times off that person's labor. That's what they're doing. That's the markup. 10 times whatever you're paying the person, that's what the person's supposed to bring you back in money, in revenue. You go to Walmart, you look at all those people in there working, and they're making 10 times off for each person that they're paying. Walmart is getting paid. Walmart is worth a lot of money. But you have to have your parameters set. You have to know how the game works. You follow what I'm saying? You can't be soft about, I don't want to charge that much. This is what you're supposed to charge, okay? This is what they expect you to charge. You can buy, you can go in some retail shops, man, and the food is expensive. I mean, really expensive. You know what I'm saying? Because they're charging 100% over everything that they sell. You go in there. I went to a restaurant. You couldn't get out of there without spending $30, $40 a plate. You're going to come upon because they know how to charge the money. Now, if you can't afford that $30, $40 a plate, don't go in those places. Stick to McDonald's. What can I tell you? But I'm just saying, that's the rule of thumb. 100% markup on your product. Now, if you're an entrepreneur, this is what you have to think about, okay? What is my actual product and how am I marketing this thing? If they're going to come from, am I marketing a product or do I have a job? If you have a job, you have to sit back and figure, wait a minute, something's wrong with this. I got to design a better way to do this here because actually I don't want to be a worker, okay? You don't want to be in the working class, period, okay? So get that out of your mind. Now, those that are on the line, I really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for calling in. You know, we just got about 5 minutes left here. But on Wednesday, we talk about money. But we start with the Bible because the Bible codes is telling you what you're supposed to do, right? Now, look at Moses and what they went through with Moses. Oh, he was talking to Moses, and was he really a Moses? And it, duh. Moses set up a centralized banking system for his people. Black people, we've been here for 200 years. Where's our centralized banking system that we're supposed to be using to take care of stuff? Why are they going to give us reparations? How are they going to give you reparations? You know, they have to put in each account. Well, down there, you have to prove that you come from a slave, you know, and they done shattered all the records. So you know how hard that is. Some people can't even prove their birth certificate when they were born because they done screwed up all the records. You know what I mean? They got you coming and going. But if you had a centralized banking system, they'd have to be something different. All right. They know what was promised. What was it? 40 acres and a mule, something like that. Was promised, but never got it. All right. Lincoln set up Freedman's Bureau and he was setting up the bank. He was going to switch this whole thing around. Well, they pulled Jesus on him. Wait a minute, brother. What do you mean they pulled Jesus on the code? When you go against power, they will crucify you. You have to be able to rise from the crucifixion. If you're not able to rise from the crucifixion, don't mess with power. Don't deal with truth to power if you can't rise from the crucifixion. That's what the story of Jesus was all about, you know? Oh, he rose and went to hell. Yeah, okay. I'm not going to debate that with you, okay? But he was crucified by the power that be because he was interfering with the thought process of the people. And the powers that be did not like that. That's what brought him under the cross, okay? Not because he was feeding the people and walking on water and making blind people see. That's not why he was crucified, okay? Even if you watch the story, say, who this guy is? Why are the people listening to him? This is what they be saying. You understand what I'm saying? Then they did the little kangaroo court thing and invited all their people in, like they had all the Republicans come in and didn't call the Democrats for the hearing that they had on them. You know what I mean? This is the crucifixion. It's coming through the court system. And if they can't get you through the court system, they occult you. What do I mean by occult you? Stories. They put out stories out there. They got stories on. We got some little young brothers that's coming up and getting a little power. A brother named Polite, they're attacking him. Young Pharaoh, they're attacking him. Who else they're attacking? They're attacking everybody out there, you know. And they, with their favorite tools for attacking, money and sex. Umar Johnson, they attacked him with money. Dr. York, he used the sex thing on him. I don't know whether he did it or not, but I know that's how they come. That's how they play. Now, they're even trying to say that Malcolm X was a homosexual. I mean, think about it. You follow what I'm saying? This is what they do. This is the occult. The occult is the stories. When you go and you watch television, it's all stories. It's all occult. They got you so used to being occulted, you know what I mean, that you think it's great. Oh, the days of our lives, all my children, the young and the restless, they got stories for you, boy, you know? And if you don't like those stories, if you're a black person, oh, we're going to bring the Black Panther out, you know? And this guy ripping wheels off the cars with his hands and stuff, you know, we're going to bring the Black Panther out on you. You know, we got stories for you to watch, dog. But it's all based on leadership. So you don't say, well, we got to have leaders. Why? Why do we have to vote for these people to do things for us when we can just vote for what we need? It's just something to think about. I just threw that out there. I don't know if you said it on the air. Because, see, now a statement like that, that's talking truth to power. You see what I'm saying? The next thing I know, I won't even be able to get on the air tomorrow. I don't know how long they're going to let me stay on this air talking trash the way I'm doing. But, hey, as long as they don't shut me down, I'm going to be right here every day. Well, I'm trying to be here every day, but it gets a little tricky, you know, because there's a lot going on, right? So, but I'm here today. Thank you for being here. We got about 2 minutes left, so let me do another assertion. I walk the path to I walk the path of reap what you sow. All that I have done today, I eagerly embrace its return to me. So let it be written, so let it be done. Everything that I've done today, I want to come back. I have done nothing to that didn't fit within the parameters of reap what you sow. Why are you hopping on reap what you sow so much? That's science. If you sow two chemicals together, you're going to reap a reaction. You put mathematics on it to control the reaction. That's science. They got you thinking that they invented science. They didn't. Your culture is science. There's only two cultures on the planet. The read what you sow culture, which is the science, and the dog-eat-dog culture, which is the military. This is why President Hanson and them, your founding fathers, not George Washington and them, I'm going to say this every day, not George Washington and them, they set the system up so that the reap what you sow portion would control the dog eat dog portion. That's why you have a civilian president over the military. And a civilian president is supposed to be spiritually in tune with some type of religion and all that. The religion is reap what you sow. That's the spiritual side of you. Reap what you sow. And it's not a coincidence that you have to swear on a religious body. You got some guys that took office, they used the Quran. It ain't just about the Bible. This guy got to know something about reap what you sow if he's going to take this office. And right now, our corruption is running rampant in there, rampant in there, and we have to do something about it. Remember, this is your country. You can push this country in the right direction by your vote. Don't let them stop you from voting, okay? That's the only power you got to help move the country, so do that. Thank you. Remember, love is active. Make others feel good. And we will chit-chat. We will chit-chat again. We will chit-chat again tomorrow, okay? Much love, guys.